Glory to God.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you so much. You and your precious family. Praise God. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
Give someone a handshake or a hug. You can be seated. Praise God. Thank you, praise and worship team. What an awesome blessing. Pastor, thank you for letting me be on the floor. I just like it's more comfortable for me down here. Well, how many of you'd rather be here than in the hospital this morning? How many of you'd rather be here than in jail?
Yeah.
I asked that question one time. I said, how many of you'd rather be here than in jail? This woman jumped up on the front row. She started dancing. I said, what in the world? She said, I just got out of jail. Well, praise God. Oh, man, I've had a great time with y'all this weekend. We're going to have a good time this morning. Pastor introduced my sermon, didn't even know, but he introduced it just perfectly by the Holy Spirit, as you'll see. So we've got a couple of things back there on the table left. Some of the things are sold out, but this is a teaching CD on, it's called Amazing Grace. Now, you know there's been a lot of teaching on the subject of grace of late. Things seem to recircle every 25 years or so with it reemphasized, but this particular CD, we just talk about the reality. You know, the Bible says that by grace through faith are you saved. We understand there's not only a grace whereby we were saved, but there is a grace wherein we stand. And you know, we have the immediate justification of our human spirit, the ultimate glorification of our body. But in between that immediate and ultimate, this is the life we're living down here. And there's a grace for us. God's ability working in us and for us, that which we could never accomplish on our own. And so we talk about that. Then, of course, this is one of my newest ones, and the next one I'll mention. This is called A Simple Guide to Faith. As we said to you last night, the Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says that we fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So if we walk by faith and live by faith and fight the good fight of faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, I think we need to know a little something about it, don't you? So it's back there. And we try to give you a capsulized view of it. And then in conjunction with that, I've got a new CD called I'm Just Saying. And we talk about the fact that you and I are created in the image of God, and because we are, our words are of a spiritual nature and origin. And we understand that words, being of a spiritual nature and origin, carry tremendous impact in the natural realm in which we live. And so we just talk about the principle of not just a specific event, but a lifestyle of believing in the heart and saying with the mouth. And then also, we've got a few of these left. In His Presence, if you don't have that yet, it's a wonderful recording of piano and strings. You use it here for your prayer time, I think. And then also, you can play it in your car, in your home. I just sat down, no particular melodies, just played out of my spirit. And it's great for Bible reading, meditation, all that sort of thing. Then go get one of our bookmarks. They're free. Put it in your Bible. Pray for us. And then also, if you like digital downloads, we have a digital bookstore online. You can just get it that way, okay? All right, how many of you have your Bibles this morning? Once again, wave them, make the devil mad. Hey, man, the house is full this morning. Praise God. Woo! You're in the right place at the right time. You know, Pastor, like I said, he didn't know he introduced my sermon, but he did. Hebrews 11, or 12, I think, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Bring me up just a tad. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that phrase, as we've said before, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, each of us have a race to run. We have a course to finish. And I believe it would be God's divine intention that each of us run that race and finish that course with joy. How about you? You know, in my estimation, joy is at the heart of Christianity. Because when Jesus entered the world, remember the words of the angel in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So Christ entered this world in a celebration of joy. And then, of course, before he left, he bequeathed his joy to the disciples. In John 15 and verse 7, he said, "These words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." You guys got it back there? John 15 and 7. "These words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be" what? "Might be full." So, he gave us his joy. Bequeathed his joy to them, and desires for you and I to keep our joy tank full. Are you listening? Because in my estimation, joy is the fuel that keeps the motor running. And I'm not talking about a soulish emotion. I'm talking about a spiritual fruit called joy. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and they'll have these scriptures and you can write them down. You know that the Bible says one of the fruit of the recreated human spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, so forth and so on. So joy is one of the fruit of the recreated human spirit. And it's also one of the characteristics of the kingdom of God. Romans 14 and 17. Paul made this statement. He said, "Now, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink," right? It's not mere matters of external observance, although that is involved. He said, "But the kingdom of God is an internal condition or position of righteousness, peace," and what? "Joy in the Holy Ghost." Everybody say, "Joy in the Holy Ghost." So these are characteristics of the kingdom, and in my estimation, they should be attributes of the subjects of the kingdom. We not only walk in righteousness, man, we ought to walk in peace and walk in joy. Can you say amen? Paul writing over in Philippians, and we'll look there. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. I know this is Sunday morning, but you might as well get ready to get happy. Because we're not only going to get happy, we're going to learn how to stay happy, right? Stay full of joy. It's one thing to get happy in church. It's another one to be happy and full of joy on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right? Yes. So here's Paul's words, Philippians 4 and 4. He said, "Hey, rejoice in the Lord always." And in case you didn't hear me the first time, he said, let me repeat myself. Rejoice. One translation says, "All joy be yours at all times." All joy be yours at all times. Another translation says, "Always be happy in the Lord." You gotta be kidding me. What? All joy be yours at all times? Come on. Always be happy in the Lord. What planet are you living on? Paul. The same one we are. How in the world am I supposed to be rejoicing all the time, always, you know, be happy in the Lord? All joy be mine at all times. How in the world am I supposed to do that? He said, well, I'll tell you how. Right here. Verse 6. Here it is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Paul said, here's what you do now. He said, joy is going to be most fully realized in the life of a Christian who has learned to live their life free from care. I did not say free from responsibility. I did not say free from the necessary disciplines of life. I did not say free from occasional adversities, oppositions, disappointments, and the sorrows we may encounter. We said free from the care of them, right? The Living Bible of these verses goes like this. It says, don't worry about anything. What? Don't worry about anything. I did a study on the word anything in the Greek, and you'll never believe what it means. Anything. Don't worry about anything. It goes on to say, instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for the answers. If you will do this, God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand, will keep your heart and your thoughts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, the Amplified says, don't worry, don't fret, don't have anxiety about anything. Now, we can all shout amen. Amen, Brother Marty, don't worry. And some people don't even know what worry is. What is worry? Worry, friends, is meditating in a negative direction. As a Christian, we advocate meditating the Scripture. What does it mean to meditate? It means to reflect and rehearse. So we say, hey man, meditate the Scripture. Find a Scripture that pertains to your area of need. It's like dipping a tea bag in a hot cup of water. You dip it once, very little of the flavor in the tea is absorbed, but you start dipping that tea bag over and over and over and over, and then all of a sudden all of the color and the flavor of that tea is absorbed into the water. Same principle with the Word. The life and the power resident within that living Word is absorbed into the human spirit and actually manifests the very life it carries. But now, worry is meditating in a negative direction. Allowing your thoughts to constantly reflect on the potential uncertainties of life. What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? I wonder if they're saying this about me or that about me. Or what if this doesn't, you know, unfold like I need it to? And so you're constantly, unfortunately, reflecting upon these uncertainties of life. And your thoughts are rehearsing in a negative direction. And what we don't realize is that that begins to eat away at your peace. And then that lack of peace undermines your sense of faith and confidence. And then has a tremendous impact on your joy level. So Paul said, don't do that. Why? Because once again, it opens the door to fear. And that fear has an impact on our peace, on our joy, on our faith, on our confidence. Are you listening? So everybody, I guess if we were to say in a modern phrase and sum up Paul's theological revelation of these verses, it would very simply be, don't worry, be happy. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry, be happy. Tell your other neighbor, don't worry, be happy. How many of you think that would be God's will for us? Woo! Don't worry. Be happy. Now what amazes me is that this was not written by a man who was a stranger to adversity, opposition, persecution in life. I mean, dear Lord. If anybody had things that had to deal with in life, it was the Apostle Paul. I don't know if you've ever read his personal testimony. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, I'll read them to you. In the Message Bible, this is Paul's testimony. In the Message it says, he said, you know, I have worked harder, I've been jailed more often, I've been beaten up more times than I can count. He said, I've been at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times by the Jews, 39 lashes. That means if you saw Paul at the beach with his shirt off, he'd be covered from head to toes with scars. 5 times by the Jews, 39 lashes. I've been beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in an open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling, year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm. I've been betrayed by those that I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery, hard labor, many a lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And he said, and that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches, that's not the one. Yeah, that's it. So, hey, and you think you've had a bad month or a challenging year? Listen, none of us have encountered what the Apostle Paul went through. Right? But you know what he said? Once again, I love this man's attitude. Acts 20 and 24, in the context of the verse, he said, look, none of these things move me. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish it with joy and the ministry which God has given me to testify the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. And that has to be our attitude. Yeah, we're going to have some stuff down here. But we don't have to let the external get on the inside to the internal. We can have internal joy, internal peace in the midst of extraordinary external circumstances. Is that a reality? Absolutely. Paul said, I have learned how to celebrate my Christian faith. I have learned how to live in joy and live in peace in the midst of the most amazing external situations. In the midst of opposition, adversity, persecution, physical pain as a result of the persecution. Paul, how? How do you live in joy and peace? He said, I'm going to tell you the secret. What is it? You know, aren't you glad God doesn't just tell us what to do, but He also tells us how to do it? Listen, if it were not possible for you and I to live in all joy at all times, then God would have never told us to do it, right? It would be ridiculous to say, hey, rejoice in the Lord always, if it weren't a possibility. So how do you do that, Paul? He said, here's your secret. Now I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. Verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He said, here you go now. Whatsoever things are true, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul said, here is your secret in life to joy and peace in the midst of external circumstances that are less than desirable. He said, I have learned to think properly. I've learned to focus my attention properly. Because what I focus my attention upon has the greatest impact upon my heart, my emotions, my joy, and my peace. I don't know if you know it or not now, but the devil is after your attention because he knows that your joy and mine, your peace and mine is connected to our attention. Our faith is connected to our attention. That's why he's always saying, look at it, how bad it is. Talk about it. Think about it. Wonder what they're saying. Think about how they treated you and what they did to you. Think about, you know, and look at your checkbook and how in the world is any of this going to ever come to pass? And he wants your attention. And what we have to do in life is learn when he says, may I have your attention, please? You put up your hand and say, no, you may not talk to the hand. You may not have my attention. Right? Because I'm going to focus my attention upon that which promotes joy and peace. Paul said, I've learned to harness my internal conversation and redirect my thoughts toward that which promotes joy and peace. I cannot have an undisciplined mind and maintain joy and peace in life. It's an impossibility. See, an undisciplined mind's like an undisciplined child. Unruly, bad habits, no boundaries, headed for trouble. Right? Paul said, hey, you're going to have to discipline your thought life. People say, well, I can't control my thoughts. Oh, yes, you can. If I put a device on your head this morning, and all service long that device would put your thoughts up there on that screen for everybody to see, I bet you could control them. Oh, yeah. You can control it. It takes a little discipline, a little determination, but we can do it, right? And Paul said, listen, if you really want to live in joy and peace, you'll have to learn to have a disciplined mind and harness that internal conversation and redirect it toward that which promotes peace. Well, Paul, what do you think about? Man, when the road gets long and the mountain seems high and things are going on, what do you think about? He said, well, I'll tell you what I think about. I think about who Christ is in me and who I am in Him. I think about the fact that greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I think about the fact that He's made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed coming in and blessed going out. I think about the fact that He has raised me up and made me sit in heavenly places in Christ, far above the devil and all of his nonsense. I think about the fact, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I think about the fact that He's given me power over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I think about the fact, as we said Friday night, that nothing, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ. He said, that's what I think about. Instead of focusing on all of these external adversities, oppositions, frustrations, I redirect my thoughts toward those internal realities, and as a result, man, I can maintain peace. And I can maintain joy in the midst of the most extraordinary circumstances. He said, I'll tell you something else I think about. He said, I think about the hope of heaven and my eternal reward. You know, it was the Apostle Paul that penned the words in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He said, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, hey, I think about that. And I think about my coming reward. He said, I live my life with an eternal perspective. I realize this life is temporary. And any sorrow, disappointment, adversity, or persecution I may encounter here is in reality light and momentary in comparison to the eternal blessedness that awaits me on the other side. Woo! Man, when it seems like a little long, just start thinking about heaven. Hey, that's your inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, right? Reserved for us. It's all right to think about heaven and get happy about it. Man, ever since I was 7 years old, I used to jump up and down and say, Mom and Dad, 7 years old, Baptist boy, born again. I'd say, Mom and Dad, wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus came today? I've been looking for Him all my life, and I'm so glad it's getting closer. Ooh, hallelujah. Anybody excited? Ooh, we're coming to the consummation of the age. And Jesus is coming, said, Paul said, look, I'm living for that day. And also, he said, I think about my eternal reward. You know, Revelation chapter 22, isn't it? And verse 12, or 20 and 12, 22 and 12. It says, the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. Well, thank God for that. And my reward is with me. To give to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, according as their work shall be. Now, you know, that reward is based upon faithfulness primarily. God is not necessarily based on how, you know, grand all the things, the works you may have done. It's faithfulness. Did you do what I asked you to do in the season that I asked you to do it? And when I come, are you busy doing that? You see what I mean? Faithfulness. They have the Emmy Awards and the Grammy Awards and the Tony Awards. They come out and sashay. Let me tell you something. That's going to pale in the day, that ceremony called the judgment seat of Christ, which in reality is a grand awards ceremony. You know that's not where your sins are judged. You understand that? Your sins have already been judged through the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made. That word in the King James says judgment, but in reality it has the connotation of an award ceremony. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And everything you and I have ever done for the kingdom of God and for people, because we love God and we love people, you'll be rewarded for it. Anything we did for the accolades of man out of pride and you know, our own agenda, he said, well, that's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Right? But whatever we've done out of a motivation of love and obedience, we'll be rewarded for it. People say, well, I hadn't done anything for the... Well, just get busy. You know, do something. Bless people. Visit them in the hospital. Go to the nursing home. Help in your local church. Love folks, right? Just be a blessing. Amen. Love your pastors. Pray for them. And you'll be blessed for it. Paul said, I'm living my life in expectation of that day. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it's 7 and 8, he said, I fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. And he said, because I have, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only. Woo! He said, but to all those who love His appearing. Anybody looking for Him? And living our life in anticipation of it. Praise God. All right, now, here's something else you want to make sure that you don't allow to happen, where your joy and peace in life is concerned. And we kind of touched on this last night, but you can't allow personal regrets, condemnation from past mistakes, past situations, perhaps, you know, a loved one has passed. You've had a broken relationship. You maybe took some wrong turns in life. You wish you'd have made better decisions. Friends, as we said to you last night, no one has done this thing perfectly. We all have made mistakes. We've probably taken some turns or made decisions that we wish we would have done differently. But I always tell people, you can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. You can't go into the joy of your tomorrows dragging the past behind you, right? At some point, there's a story, and we won't look, but I'll just mention it. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you remember the story where the widow woman, her husband had passed away, and she had two sons. They were in debt, and the bondmen were coming to take the sons for the payment of the debt. And the prophet said, well, what do you have in the house? She said, I don't have anything but a pot of oil. Then he told her, you go gather as many empty vessels as you can. How many of you remember that story? From all of your neighbors? And then he said an interesting thing. He said, and when you've gathered all those vessels, I want you to come in and shut the door upon you and your sons. And then began to pour out into those vessels. And the Bible says they poured into each vessel, and it was supernaturally multiplied until all of them were filled. But the point is, I think sometimes we skip over that part. He said, shut the door. I'm convinced that sometimes the miracles, the joys, the blessings of your tomorrow can never come into full fruition until you shut the door on the past. The things that have made you mad, the things that have made you sad, the things that have made you bitter, forget it! Shut the door on it. Because at some point you have to exchange your ashes for beauty, your mourning for the oil of joy, right? Your heaviness for the garment of praise. Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. One translation says, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad? Yes. Now, you know, my mom just passed away last month. She'd been 78 her birthday. And listen, I miss her. But let me tell you something. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She would not come back if she could. And she loved me and my sister and my daddy. But she wouldn't come back. Don't hold on to that grief. I know you might miss them. But listen, they're in a far better place. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? Don't let that grief rob you of your present joy. You'll see them soon enough. They're not in your past, they're in your future. And that's good news, isn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul, I like his motto in life because certainly he had things he needed, you know, he wished he could forget. He didn't have the best past in the world. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He drug men and women and children out into the streets and bound them to Jerusalem for prosecution. I'm sure he wished he could have, you know, done things a little differently. But he said, now here's my motto, my philosophy. Philippians 3:13. And he said, I hope it'll be yours. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. Right? I press toward the mark. So everybody say, forgetting what's behind. I'm reaching to what's ahead. Don't let the past steal your present joy. All right? Now, let's look at some practical application. Get ready to get happy now. Look in Psalm chapter 5. We're going to look at some practical application because we don't only want you to get happy this morning, we want you to stay. Psalm chapter 5. Woo! Verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee do what? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So rejoice, shout for joy, be joyful. Let me give you another one. Psalm 32, verse 11. Psalm 32 and verse 11. The psalmist said, be sad in the Lord. Oh, excuse me. Let me get my glasses adjusted. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let me give you one more to substantiate my case. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and do what? Be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually. May the Lord, what is it? Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So once again, what do we see in these verses? Be glad, rejoice, be joyful. You know, Psalm 100, 1 and 2 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I think some people read that like, make a loud sigh before the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Come before his presence with griping and complaining. That's not what it says, but that's the way we read it. No, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. So here we go now. Be joyful, be glad, rejoice. Now that doesn't sound to me like a suggestion. Isn't be an action verb? Isn't it a command? Righteous ones, children of God, saved from hell, granted the blessings of the presence of God in heaven, sins forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit. Be joyful. Be glad. Rejoice. Well, if it is a command, then it is a choice, right? And then more specifically, here we go again now. More specifically, it is a matter of focus, right? What we're focusing our attention upon. Now, here's some good practical application. Every single person in this room, every one of us, from the time you open your eyes in the morning until the time you lay your head down at night, every one of us have taking place on the inside of us what psychologists call, and we refer to as, self-talk, right? Internal conversation. You talk to yourself all day long. Now, the goal is to get that vertical. But we talk to ourselves all day long. You talk to yourself about your husband. You talk to yourself about your wife, your friends, your job, you know, what you have, what you don't have, what you wish you had. I mean, this internal conversation is our world, our personal world, and how we perceive it. And unfortunately for many individuals, this internal conversation is negative in content. Everything that is wrong with my life, it's like a record playing on the inside. We used to say record. Now, it'd be a CD or an MP3, you know. And it's like this, you know. The alarm clock goes off in the morning. Track one begins. And the song for many people sounds like this. Oh, God. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to work. They don't pay me enough. You know, my husband doesn't treat me right. The kids are a mess. My wife doesn't treat me well. I don't have anything to wear. My hair looks like last year's bird's nest. You know, the house is a mess. I mean, everything that's going on the inside is what? It's the negatives of life. And what people don't realize is this mentality, this internal conversation, is producing a mindset. And then that mentality or mindset begins to have an impact on your joy, your peace, your emotions. And then your emotions in turn have an impact on your physiological body because they're all connected. Now listen, I know what I'm talking about, friends, because how many of you have ever had a personality profile examination for a place of business? Personality profile. I've had several of them in the large ministries that we worked with and then also in business. But personality profile exams. And you know, this is where they identify in the natural your personality traits, many times in a workforce, so that they can identify your strengths, your weaknesses, with whom you can best work and for which area you're best suited. So I've had several of those, and every time I come out what you call, now this is in the natural, melancholy perfect. Now melancholies, you know, it's not my natural state to be in front of people, but God has graced me to do it, so I do it. But in the natural, I'm melancholy perfect. I like alone time. I'm one of these guys. I'd love a cup of coffee and read a book. I could stay there all day, you know, just melancholy. I like to work in my yard and the flower beds and what have you. So, you know, melancholy perfect. Well, melancholy's in the natural. Now, I said in the natural, this is before the Word and the Spirit in my life. They're given to moodiness. Ups and downs. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You know, one day up, we never know what you're going to get. And the reason melancholies are kind of like that on this roller coaster is because of our perfectionistic tendencies. When all the ducks are in a row, everything's in order, happy camper. But when it wasn't, man, I would lose my joy. And I was born this way. Just, I bordered on maniac. I mean, I liked all the shirts have to hang perfectly. The underwear, the socks. God forbid there's any weeds in the flower bed. The cars must be immaculate. I used to vacuum and mop my garage. I'm telling you the truth. I liked everything perfect. But can I tell you something? After a wife, mother-in-law, two kids, a cat, and a dog, forget it! It's not going to be perfect. And I could be miserable and make my family miserable, or I could change tracks and sing a different song. Man, I just decided to change tracks. Now, I still like things neat, but I'm not going to get all bent out of shape when the toys are everywhere and, you know, the cat's on the bed. I'm just not going to get out of shape anymore. So you got to change tracks. And so in the morning when the alarm goes off, instead of, oh God, say, woo! This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it. Everything I set my hand to today is going to prosper. Woohoo! You say, Brother Marty, do you feel like that at that moment? No. No, friends, you don't. You don't always feel joyful. But I got to tell you a secret. You can never feel your way into acting differently. You see, you can never feel your way into acting differently. I don't feel happy. I don't feel joyful. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like raising my hands and praising God this morning. I'm not going to put it on. I'm real. I don't feel like it. You're real. Real carnal. Because the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Here's the secret. You'll never be able to feel your way into acting differently, but guess what? It's a psychological and spiritual reality. You can absolutely act your way into feeling differently. Because action is more powerful than emotion. Action is more powerful than emotion. So, what's the conclusion? I can't feel my way into acting differently, but I can act my way into feeling differently because emotions were never meant to govern. They're not a governing mechanism. They are a response mechanism. Now, most people don't realize they live their life based and governed by the emotions, but in reality, the emotions are a response mechanism, and guess what they respond to? The mindset, the mouth, and the actions. Change your thinking, change your actions, and your emotions will follow. So God said, here's something I want you to know. He said, when you don't feel joyful, and you won't always, He said, here's what you can do. What, Lord? You can activate your joy. Activate it. Yeah, you can stir it up. Now, I'm from Georgia. We have, as you can tell by my accent, I'm a Southerner. We have sweet tea in Georgia. Do y'all have sweet tea here? Now, sweet tea is when you steep about 8 or 9 tea bags. Boil it, steep it there. And then you put in a minimum of a cup of sugar. Minimum. Then you stir it up. While it's hot, it dissolves. Then you add your ice and your water to make your gallon of tea. But I go up to New York and places and I'll say, may I have a glass of sweet tea, please? They bring me a cold glass of tea with a jar or packets of sugar. And then when it's cold and you put it in, where does it go? To the bottom, just like the chocolate in the milk. And you have to stand there and... And it takes like 4 or 5 minutes and it still doesn't all dissolve, right? And that's what God said. Hey, sometimes your joy is going to settle to the bottom of the glass. And when it does, I've got some spoons for you, He said. You can stir it up. What is it, Lord? He said, well, here's one we read. He said, you can shout for joy. Shout for it. Yeah. Sometimes, man, you read the scripture. I mean, when I feel like crying, I'll just go down in my office when the, things are weighing in. And I'll just shut the door. Well, I don't actually have a door on it. It's in the basement. It's not finished. But it's my office is down there. It's my hideaway from everybody. So I go down there, man, go into what is my office. I lift my hands and I just start shouting. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. I bless you. I praise you. Do you feel like it? No. But guess what? After I shout a little bit, my emotions catch on. And that spoon starts stirring up what's already on the inside of me. See, it's not an emotional thing. It's a resident fruit. It's in the well. And I just start stirring it up a little bit. And before long, man, I come out of there. Woohoo! Talk about shouting. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. My wife and I, we were associate pastors at Rhema Bible Church for many years. And We came in from a prayer meeting one night, or church service, and when we walked in the house, man, all of a sudden I had, and you know this here because you're mature believers, a lot of churches, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about when I say I had an unction or a burden to pray in the Spirit. You don't always know what you're praying about, but the Holy Ghost needs to take care of business. Well, man, I had to, and it might start as a little, you know, a little scratch, but if you'll yield to that, then you'll get a stream. And if you yield to the stream, then you hit a gusher. Now, if you quench that little scratching, then he won't bother you. But I had this unction. And man, my wife and I went in the living room, started praying in the Spirit. I mean, hard and heavy in intercession. Well, you know, we prayed 30, 45, 50 minutes, an hour or so. And then all of a sudden, when you get the answer, you hit what you call a note of victory. Whatever you were praying about in the Spirit, in that intercession, whatever it was, man, you know you got it. And you might start dancing. You might sing a song. You might start shouting. But I mean, you know you've hit that note of victory. Well, all of a sudden, we hit that note of victory. Talking about shouting. And man, my wife and I, we were dancing. We were shouting right there in the living room. And I had a little dog. His name was Snickerdoodle. Now, Snickerdoodle's gone home to be with the Lord now. But we got Coco now. But anyway, he was lying. Snickerdoodle was just laying on that ottoman, minding his business. There, we're just a shout. And I don't know why in the world I did this, but all of a sudden, I'm whoa like that, and I said, whoa like that, and I touched Snickerdoodle. God's my witness, guys. That dog, he jumped up from the ottoman. He started running around the kitchen table. Never seen that dog run so fast in my life. I said, honey, look, the Holy Ghost is on that dog. I mean, he just kept running around. Somebody say, shout for joy. You can shout for joy. You can, have you ever read this? You can sing for joy. Sing for it, yeah. You get up in the morning, you know, and you go into the shower, and you start singing a little happy song because you don't, you know, necessarily feel it at the moment. I'm full of joy, and I got the victory. I'm full of joy. I just found me a song, and I got the victory. And you just keep saying, I'm full of joy, and I got... That's about as far down as we guys go, about right there. We kind of let the runoff get the rest, don't we, fellas? Just a little bit. I'm full of joy, and I'm just singing, you know. And... No, I'll get my toes every once in a while. Don't get grossed out about it. I will wash it. You know, just singing. And you know, you just keep singing. By the time you get out of the shower and you're drying off and you're blow drying, I am full of joy and I got the victory. Your emotions catch on. Get in the car after work, man. Put on your happy song or just sing one yourself and activate your joy. Oh, I don't feel like it. I know. That's why you need to activate it. Right? So you can shout for joy. You can sing for joy. You can leap for joy. Several scriptures along those lines. Now, we're closing now. One of the manifestations of joy, I didn't say the only one, but one of them, is laughter. Anybody like to laugh? I'm telling you, we love to laugh around my house. And Pastor will tell you, we like to laugh. We laugh at the table. We laugh all the time. Well, because, you know, God created laughter. Some people think it's just irreverent to laugh in church. Can I ask you a question? When you laugh, where do you laugh from? Your head? Is that where you're laughing from? No? I just pull my neck down. No? You don't laugh from your head. Where do you laugh from? Your belly, your heart, because God created laughter. Look over in Psalm 126. One of the manifestations of joy is laughter. So we're going to have ourselves a good laugh today before we leave. Look in Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Everybody say laughter. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So our mouths were filled with laughter. One of the signs or the manifestations of joy is laughter. Everybody say ha ha ha. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Hankins, but you know, regardless of popular opinion, he did not create that phrase ha ha ha. We were in a Winter Bible Seminar down in Tulsa, Oklahoma back in the 90s. And I mean, there was an outpouring of the Spirit during that decade. It was just a move of God. You can watch some of these things on YouTube. If you want to see a couple, one of them is called Just One Dose of the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin had asked me to sing a song, and I was so drunk in the Spirit, I couldn't even sing. And you'll get tickled at it. But I mean, you tune into some of those Winter Bible Seminars of the 90s. Amazing. So anyway, one of these services, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was so extraordinary. And people were all over the floor. Some were dancing, running, shouting. Others were drunk in the Spirit. And here we are at the culmination of the meeting of that night. It's on satellite television. 8,000 people there that year with the overflows. And I'm the praise and worship leader. And he looks down at me sitting on the front row. And he said, over the microphone, Brother Marty, do you have a song that will fit in here? I said to myself, in this? No, I don't. And I said that to him. No, sir. I said, no, sir. And you want to know why I said no, sir? Because he always told us, if you sing the wrong song at the wrong time, it will kill the anointing. Well, who wants to be responsible for that? So I said, no, sir. And he said, right over the microphone, he said, well, you will by the time you get up here. You know? So, dear Lord, man, I thank God there's a lot of steps to that platform. All the way up, I'm going, Jesus, 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 help me, help me, help me. And all of a sudden, these words came up. And it was ha, 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 he, he, hey. Mr. Devil, get out of my way. Ha, 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 he, hey, I resist you and you cannot stay. And it had verses and the band came up and the singers. And God's my witness, I don't know why it came out this way, but it was like one of those old tavern drinking songs. Ha, 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 he, hey, Mr. Devil, get out of my way. You know, they got the horns. Ha, 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 he, hey. I resist you and you cannot stay. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, ah, ha, ha, he, hey. Mr. Devil, get out of my way. Oh, ah, ha, ha, he, hey. I resist you and you can. Now sway a little bit, if you will. Oh, ah, ha, ha, he. Put some harmony in there. Mr. Devil, get out of my way. Singing, ah, ha, ha, hey. I resist you and you can. One more time. Singing, ah, ha, ha, hey. Mr. Devil, get out of my way. Singing, ah, ha, ha, hey. I resist you and you cannot stay. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. God's my witness. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. But the more we sang that, the drunker we got. I don't know if you know it or not. But God, as pastor said, God never intended for us to go through life sober. Right? He said, now listen, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Right principle, different substance. Be intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have ourselves a good laugh. You say, we're just going to laugh? Yeah. You don't even have to have a sense of humor to laugh. Everybody's born with the gift of laughter. So we're going to have ourselves a good laugh. You say, well, now, what are we going to laugh at? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, over in Job 5 and 22, Job's been through a hard time. I understand the context of the verse, and his comforters are coming to comfort them. And said, man, you've been through a rough time. We know that, but we do want to encourage you, they said. The time will come when you will laugh at destruction. You will laugh at famine, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. It'll just be a faint memory. Man, some of you have been through some rough times. We just need to laugh at them today. You've been going through some hard times here recently. The devil's been laughing at you. It's your time this morning. At destruction, at famine, we're going to laugh when it looks like everything's falling apart. Not going to have enough, you know. You just need to haul off and have yourself a good laugh. I've gotten my checkbook out at times, and I've just laughed at the zeros. Woo! You have? Yeah, just laughed at it. Woo! Watched it fill back up. Glory to God. Yeah, you just got to laugh. My mother-in-law talk about famine. Now, my mother-in-law, she is from the deep south. She's what you call country come to town. You know what I mean? And so she's got some of these sayings you have to have an interpretation for. But early in our marriage, Lola and I, you know, we're just getting started, a young couple. We're trying to resolve some financial things and get everything on level ground. And so I'm on the phone with my mother-in-law. And I'm asking her to pray and agree with us over a certain situation, you know. And so she's talking and praying. And then before she hung up, she said, "Now, honey, one thing about it." And I'm talking about famine when it doesn't look like there's going to be enough. And I'm ready. I said, "What, Mom?" She said, "They can't eat you." I said, "What?" She said, "They can't eat you. They might can take the truck and the house. They can't eat you. You'll live for another day." And I just got happy. I said, "They can't eat you. They can't eat you. You might need to remember that this morning. When it looks a little lean, they can't eat you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "They can't eat you." So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to have ourselves a good laugh. Microphone. I'm going to get it ready. We're going to have ourselves a good laugh. At destruction, at famine, whatever the situation may be, relationally, financially, physically, whatever it is, I just want you to haul off and laugh at it. You say, "Just laugh." That's right. Now, you might have to prime your pump. You've seen those pumps. You know, the first time you do it, it kind of goes. But then you keep pumping, and all of a sudden you hit a gusher. You might have to go, like we said, you might have to go, "Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha." It doesn't take me long, because I stay over there. But yeah, you can prime your pump. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in your mind's eye. You say, "Now, we're really going to laugh." That's right. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, "There is a time to weep. There is a time to laugh." And this morning's a time to laugh. Right? So, whatever's been bugging you of late, I want you to get it in your mind's eye. I got something I'm going to laugh at, personally. I got to wait, though, for a minute. Now, we had people come in healing school. Had terminal diseases, friends. I'm telling you the truth. And sometimes the Spirit of God would begin to move in this joy, what we would call holy laughter. And you know, these were denominational people, many of them who had never seen anything like this in their life. We'd have the microphone. We'd say, "Now, what's wrong with you?" And they would say, "Well, I have a tumor." And they'd get tickled. And then they'd start giggling and feel irreverent and try to stop, but they couldn't. Then they'd just be laughing hysterically 30, 45 minutes. And friends, some of them would get up absolutely healed. Because the same Spirit that will fill you will heal you. A lot of people are so riddled with stress and fear. And all of that is just having an impact on the body. And that joy and that laughter will dissipate it. So here's what we're going to do. Now, I'm going to lead you in laughter. The worship team led in praise and worship. I'm going to lead you in laughter. So on the count of three, I want you to get in your mind's eye something you need to laugh at. All right? If it's financial, physical, relational, whatever it is. You got it in your mind. You know, we speak to the mountain, but now we're going to look. You're going to laugh at it. Oh, my God. But I got to count. Are you ready? Now, don't make me laugh by myself. You got your own well. Prime your pump. Are you ready? One. I got mine. Two. Three. Ha ha ha! Hey, 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 hey! I love all these different kinds of laughs. Hey, hey! Somebody say ha ha ha! To laugh a little bit. Woo! Oh, I love this one. That sounds like Daffy Duck. I love that. Woo! Somebody say ha ha ha. I do with that hanky? I lost it. Here it is. Hey, I know you guys, sometimes people, man, they want to laugh. They just need a little help. Y'all got bulletins you handed out one this morning. I like those, what they call bulletin bloopers, where they've had in churches. And they have these announcements, but they misprinted it. And it just came out wrong. So maybe this will help some of you. Like one of them said, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo! I like this one. I like this one said, in the bullet said, the sermon this evening, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. That's not true here now. Here's one. Now, don't worry. Jesus is not offended at this when I ask him. Said, the sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon this evening, searching for Jesus. Mercy. Woo. These things, they just crack me up. I like this one. It said, this being Easter Sunday, we're going to ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Okay, here's one for the road. Said, Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, ha, ha, ha. Hee, hee, hee. I'm going to switch microphones and sing you a song. Everybody stand up. Woo! Say, I'm full of joy and I've got the victory. Come on. Bring that track up. Hey! All right, you can come. Hey! Well,
Well, maybe you can tell it by the smile on my face. I got joy.
I've got joy.
It's a smile that comes from heaven that the world cannot erase. I got joy.
I've got joy.
When I rise in the morning, see the day God has made. Sunshine or stormy, you'll still hear me say, I got joy. I've got joy. I've got joy.
Yes, I've got joy.
Listen now. With trouble all around me, I can sing Amazing Grace. I got joy.
I've got joy.
Well, problems cannot stop me. I'm gonna win this race. I've got joy.
I got joy.
He's strength to my spirit, provider and friend. Can't help but shout it and say it again. I got joy. I got joy. I got joy.
Hey.
Joy is not dependent on what I feel or see. No matter what the struggle, I still have victory. This joy for my journey, no man can take away. The joy of the Lord is my strength today. Well, Jesus is the solid rock I'm standing on today. I got joy.
I got joy.
Oh, he's taken all my burdens and washed my sins away. I got joy. When I rise in the morning, sunshine or stormy, you'll still hear me say, I got joy.
I got joy.
I got joy.
Yes, I've got joy.
Hey, I've got joy. I've got joy. I've got joy.
Yes, I've got joy.
Oh, I've got joy. I've got joy. Does anybody in here have joy? Joy, and I believe you're gonna keep joy.
Woo! That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.